This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio at sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at sportstalknet. The Steve Callis Show on sportstalknetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Friday, March 2nd, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio at sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today, as always. But we're going to start with the 50-year anniversary of one of the greatest achievements ever in the history of sports that will never be duplicated, no matter what Kobe Bryant says. And that's 50 years ago today, March 2nd, 1962, at Hershey, Pennsylvania, Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points for the Philadelphia Warriors, the then Philadelphia Warriors, against the New York Knicks. It's just unfathomable to me that someone could do that. Chamberlain was 36 for 63 from the field. The Warriors won the game 169 to 147. The amazing thing, again, if you follow Chamberlain's career or know anything about him, is he was a horrific free throw shooter, shooting 51% for his career. His field goal percentage was actually higher than his free throw percentage. But on that night in Hershey, he took 32 free throws and made 28 of them. That's as miraculous as it is for 100 points to be scored in a game. That's another miracle that this guy was 28 for 32 from the line. Now, there are a lot of stories coming out of there. Over the last 50 years, there's actually going to be a show tonight on NBA TV, if you get that, from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. tonight, just about this game. Unfortunately, there's no film of the actual game. Again, it was played in Hershey, Pennsylvania. The Philadelphia Warriors, as they were at the time, played a few of their home games in Hershey, Pennsylvania, to try and expand their reach, if you will, to get some other fans. Of course, again, they only had 4,124 that night on March 2nd, 1962. But 100 points for Chamberlain, something I think will never be duplicated. Maybe you heard some of the interviews with a bunch of the NBA players, and all of them except for Kobe Bryant said it couldn't be duplicated. Kobe Bryant said, yeah, somebody's going to do that, but I think that's virtually impossible for a guy. You'd have to take 60 shots or more to get 100. You'd have to take 30 free throws to get 100. And it's just, the game is just not played that way. And again, in this particular game, and there are disputes about what actually happened, but they were giving the ball to Chamberlain apparently on every play. There were reports from the game that the Knicks were fouling other guys away from the ball so Chamberlain wouldn't get the ball. And then there were also reports that then the Philadelphia Warriors were following the Knicks immediately in order to get the ball back. And the fourth quarter, Philadelphia scored 44 points. Chamberlain scored 31 of them. There were 85 points scored in the fourth quarter. Give that a little thought. I mean, that's hard to even fathom. And in the third quarter, Philadelphia outscored the Knicks 46-38. There were 84 points scored in that quarter. So there were 169 points scored in the second half. I mean, again, it's just, it's not something we can fathom. Chamberlain only, had 41 points at the half. He had 59 in the second half, again, including 31 in the fourth quarter, to reach the unbelievable 100 mark. Now, it's so long ago now that a lot of people don't remember Chamberlain or never saw him play, but the stuff that he did is just, again, you can't fathom what this guy did. In that year, 61-62, he set, of course, the all-time NBA scoring record for a season. He averaged 50.4 a game, averaged. He averaged 50 a game. He also led the league, in addition to scoring, he led the league in rebounds. He averaged 25.7 rebounds per game. Again, I mean, these numbers are like beyond video game numbers. In 1961-62, you know, there's 48 minutes in the basketball game. Wilt Chamberlain averaged 48.5 minutes per game. How could that be? Well, you know how. the Warriors played in 10 overtime games, or 10 overtime periods, I should say. A couple of them were double overtime. So he averaged more than 48 minutes a game. The other stat, which I've always been on the fence on that you may not know about Chamberlain, is he never fouled out of a game. But to me, that means he just wasn't as aggressive as he could have been. Chamberlain was viewed to be a dominant player, a physical player, but kind of afraid, for example, to hurt Bill Russell, his arch rival who won all the championships. Chamberlain won virtually all the individual battles, but Russell, of course, won all the championships except one year Chamberlain's team won, I think it was 67-68, they won one title. And then, of course, Chamberlain won another one with the Lakers after Russell was out of the league. But Russell v. Chamberlain, while Wilt might have won the individual battles, Russell won virtually every championship. As you know, Russell had 11 championships in the 13 seasons that he played. He lost to Wilt and Philadelphia one year, and he lost to the St. Louis Hawks very early in his career as well. So I'm fascinated to see what they've come up with tonight because, again, no film of the actual game. If you watch film of Chamberlain, again, you'll just see how physically dominant he was. He was a great athlete as well as being a great basketball player. Had a nice turnaround bank shot from the side that a lot of his coaches did not want him to take because obviously it took him away from the basket. But a physical specimen, could run the floor, believe it or not, was very good at track and field, was an excellent volleyball player. Chamberlain was just one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Some people argue the greatest. And again, his numbers are unfathomable. As a rookie, 37.6 points per game, 27 rebounds per game as a rookie. And again, these things are just, you can't quite understand. It's hard to grasp. At least it's hard for me to grasp nowadays what this guy did many, many years ago. So, again, Chamberlain scored 100 points against the Knicks 50 years ago today. You know, the Knicks actually had three guys who scored over 30 points in that game. Richie Guerin, Hall of Famer, 39. Willie Knowles had 31. Cleveland Buckner, the backup center for the Knicks, had 33. Darrell Imhoff was the starting center. Obviously, neither of them could remotely guard Chamberlain. The Warriors had four other guys in double figures, but of course, the story was then and is today the fact that Wilt Chamberlain was able to go for 100, the second highest score, and you were probably aware of it. Now, Kobe Bryant had 81 points in a game a few years ago. And again, Kobe's the one guy who thinks that 100 could be duplicated, but I don't think it's possible. You know, teams regularly don't score 100 in an NBA game nowadays. So, again, if you get NBA TV, I haven't seen it. I don't know what it entails, but it's just one of those mythical things because you can't see it. There's no tape of that game. They talk to people who were there, I'm sure. And, you know, Chamberlain himself used to say, yeah, you know, 50,000 people have come up to me and say, and have said, yeah, I was at that game in Hershey, and there were only 4,100 at the game. So, you know, it's the old, the myth grows, the story grows, the legend grows. But the facts are, on March 2nd, 1962, 52 years ago, 50 years ago today, Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points in an NBA game. Nobody's come any closer than Kobe's 81. The record before the 100-point game was Chamberlain's. Earlier that year, he had scored 78 in the game. So you're talking rarefied air, obviously, when you get up there. But I'm sure you'll see some film of Wilt if you've never seen him play. You should just look for his, especially in his younger days. Later with the Lakers, he was more of a, well, not as athletic as he was earlier in his career, of course, but he could run like a gazelle. He could jump, of course. He had an amazing body. He was an amazing physical specimen, an amazing athlete. And I think just for the value of seeing this guy, they'll have to have a lot of film of him playing. It just won't be in that game. That's 7 o'clock tonight on NBA TV, commemorating the 50th anniversary of Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game against the Knicks in the NBA. A few NBA games last night, a number of interesting ones. Oklahoma goes down to Orlando. Orlando with a terrible loss to Sacramento on Wednesday. Host the Thunder. Trying, of course, to get a measuring stick, if you will. Does Dwight Howard want to leave? Does Dwight Howard want to stay? Well, amazingly to me, the Magic were up 11 after three quarters and then just collapsed in the fourth quarter as Oklahoma City outscores Orlando 35-21 in the fourth. To beat the Magic in Orlando, Oklahoma City 105, the Magic 102. Kevin Durant shows why he's a superstar. 18 points in the fourth quarter, 38 points for the game, 12 for 21 from the field, including 5 for 8 from 3. Durant, unbelievable, of course, 38 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. Russell Westbrook is running mate, 29 points, 10 assists and 2 rebounds. Certainly the best backcourt in the game. Oklahoma City, a very tough team. And, of course, they have the best third guard and arguably the best sixth man in the game. James Harden coming off the bench for 13 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. I mean, what a trio that is. And they did all this despite the fact that Serge Ibaka, their big man, only 4 points and 2 rebounds. Although Perkins, who's now coming on, who Oklahoma City, I thought, stole from the Celtics last year, he had 11 rebounds to pick up the slack from Serge Ibaka. So Oklahoma City, a team to be reckoned with. They go to 29-7. Orlando, and again, Howard was very upset after their loss to Sacramento Wednesday night. Not happy after their loss to the Thunder last night because, again, with an 11-point lead at home going into the fourth quarter, you're supposed to win that game. Howard did go for 33 points and 9 rebounds, 14 for 20 from the field. But not enough. Jason Richardson with 16, Kyle Anderson with 15, Jameer Nelson with 15 and 9 assists. They actually did get some balanced scoring after Howard, Turkoglu with 11, but not enough as the Thunder beat the Magic 105-102. And, of course, the bigger story there is it looks like, not that he had changed his mind before, but it looks more and more certain that Dwight Howard will leave at the end of the year if he's still on the Magic. And presumably the Magic will come to their senses and trade Howard for whatever they can get for him, because they forget losing to Oklahoma City, a very good team. Although if you beat Oklahoma City at home, that has to make Howard stop and think, wow, we're pretty good. They didn't, but worse, they lost to the Kings, the Sacramento Kings, the lowly Sacramento Kings, the night before. So Orlando going the wrong way. Oklahoma City, of course, one of the best teams in the NBA, probably the best team in the Western Conference. But now we'll move to the best team in the NBA. The Miami Heat out to Portland to play the Trailblazers. And the Heat, easy winners. I mean, they just blew away Portland in the first half, 60-42 at the half. Game essentially over after that. The Heat cruised to a 107-93 win over the Trailblazers in Portland. And part of the joke is they didn't even have Chris Bosh this time. But, you know, with James and Wade, what are you going to say? Two of the five best players in the league. LeBron James, 38 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 steals. I mean, again, these are staggering numbers. Dwayne Wade, 33 points, 10 assists, 2 rebounds, 3 steals of his own. Just stunningly amazing, these two guys. Easily the best 1-2 tandem. Someone tried to compare Westbrook and Durant to James and Wade. And of course, that's a joke, especially on the defensive end, but that's a joke. Miami 107, Portland 93. Udonis Haslem off the bench, 11 points, 14 rebounds. To ensure a championship, they're going to have to get some good play from these guys off the bench. Joel Anthony as a starter has played very well. Shane Battier, a good addition. Mario Chalmers, we discussed before the Jeremy Lin thing, going back to last year's playoffs. He really became a good player in last year's playoffs. Yesterday, 12 points, 2 assists in 34 minutes for Chalmers. You can't really judge Mario Chalmers on his assists because James and Wade have the ball so much, but they have a very good team. If they get some contribution from Haslem and Mike Miller off the bench, they're going to be incredibly tough to beat. In fact, I don't think anybody can beat them this year. For the Trailblazers, LaMarcus Aldridge, 20 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Crawford, 18 points, and Batum 17 points and 5 rebounds. But Portland, you know, they lost Brandon Roy to retirement because of his arthritic knees. They lost Greg Oden for the season. They do have a good team, but I just don't think they can get there. They dropped to 18 and 18. Miami moves up to 28 and 7. We'll have a couple more NBA games to get to, and then we'll get to college and NHL and miscellaneous right after these messages. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Think Fish with Frank Reese on Blue Zoo Radio, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. exclusively on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
These days, you hear them everywhere. Get out of debt quick promise is asking you to call right now to solve all your credit problems. But please, listen carefully. Don't make a huge mistake. There is a better way. Trinity Debt Management. Many debt settlement companies have created a dangerous misunderstanding. Simply put, debt settlement often ends up destroying your credit and ultimately may lead to asset seizure and bankruptcy. There is a better way out. Trinity Debt Management can show you how to pay off your debt, preserve your good name, save thousands in interest, and in the end, actually improve your credit rating, not destroy it. Say no to debt settlement. Say yes to debt management. Trinity Debt Management. Make the right choice and become debt-free for keeps. Call 1-800-780-0646. That's 1-800-780-0646.
SportsTalkNetwork.com is now mobile. Watch or listen to your favorite Sports Talk Network program live or on demand with the new STN web app. The STN web app works on all smartphones, including iPhones, Android, and BlackBerry. Go to m.sportstalknetwork.com on your phone's web browser and bookmark the app. No downloads and no fees. Fresh audio, video shows, sports news, and more content delivered to your phone whenever you want. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion, and now on your phone.
Hikari, established in 1877 with more than 130 years of experience, is the world's foremost authority on aquatic nutrition. We know what it takes to offer you and your aquatic pets nutrition that can help them look their best and live a long and healthy life. If you're looking for the best aquatic diets for your hard-earned dollar, look no further than Hikari, the aquatic nutrition leader worldwide. For further information, visit HikariUSA.com and our direct link at BlueZooRadio.com.
You're listening to the SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508. 800-926-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Just two other NBA games. Minnesota goes out to Phoenix to play the Suns. Steve Nash has an unbelievable day. The Suns win 104-95 over the Timberwolves. Nash, 6 for 13 from the field, 13 points, 17 assists. Just still an unbelievable player at the age of 38. Speaking of ageless wonders, Grant Hill, 20 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Marcin Gortat, who's their big man who used to back up Dwight Howard in Miami, he's really opened a lot of eyes this year, 17 points, 6 rebounds. Channing Frye, 14. Phoenix, just 15 and 20. They're not going anywhere, but they certainly, on certain nights, can really play well with Nash still being a superstar at times. For Minnesota, the walking double-double, Kevin Love, 23 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists as well. Luke Ridnour, 15 points, 8 assists. Pekovic, the other big man, a good player, 14 points, 9 rebounds, but not enough. The Suns, 104. The Timberwolves, 95. Minnesota drops one game under 500. At 18 and 19. The final game out west, the Clippers go down to Sacramento to play, or up to Sacramento, I should say, to play the Kings. Clippers 108, the Kings 100. Now, the Kings had just flown cross country after beating the Orlando Magic, and again, Sacramento losing at home to the Clippers. Sacramento drops to 12 and 23. You can understand why Dwight Howard was furious after Sacramento beat Orlando in Orlando. The Clippers, I think, are a title contender. I heard, I think it was Kurt Rambis on TV saying who can challenge Oklahoma City, and he ran off three or four teams in the West, you know, Dallas, San Antonio. He never did mention the Clippers, and I think that's a mistake. I think the Clippers by the end of the year are going to have a chance to do some real damage. The Clippers now 21 and 12. Yesterday, Chris Paul, I mean, look, they have the required, if you will, two superstars. Chris Paul, 22 points, 9 assists, 9 for 18 from the field. Blake Griffin, 14 points, 9 rebounds, 7 for 12 from the field. The Clippers have a very, very good team, in my opinion. Foy, their point guard, 16 points, 5 assists. Caron Butler, another very good player, 13 points. DeAndre Jordan, who's going to help with the defensive rebounding slack, 6 rebounds. I think the Clippers are a factor in the playoffs. I think they could certainly beat the Lakers. I don't know if the Lakers are playing in the Staples Center and the Clippers are the home team, does that mean the Lakers are no good because they're terrible on the road? I don't know, but I think the Clippers can beat just about anybody, and with Paul and Griffin, they have an incredible point guard, center, or big man duo. So the Clippers move to 21 and 12. They beat the Kings 108 to 100 in Sacramento. Cousins, who's played well since he got his coach fired, 23 points, 10 rebounds. Evans, a very good NBA point guard, Tyreek Evans, 18 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Marcus Thornton, another good player, 18 points. They have some good young talent in Sacramento, but it's certainly not there yet as they drop to 12 and 23. Want to move on to a few miscellaneous things. We'll get to college basketball eventually and the NHL and what's on TV tonight in addition to the Chamberlain special at 7 Eastern on NBA TV. In the NFL, DeSean Jackson, Normally, players don't like to be franchised, but the Eagles put the franchise tag on DeSean Jackson, and his quote was, quote, "I'm honored," close quote, that they put the franchise tag on me. Of course, Jackson, who bitterly complained about his contract last year, he only made $600,000. Because he's been tagged, now stands to make $9.5 million next year for the Eagles. So obviously, that's probably one of the reasons he's honored, as he's going to make more than 15 times what he made last year and deserves it. He's a top player, DeSean Jackson. A few other things in the NFL. The Steelers announced that they are not going to franchise tag Mike Wallace, their wide receiver. Rather, they're going to offer him a one-year deal. Wallace, one of the guys who, frankly, is pushing out Hines Ward, I'm sure not intentionally. Wallace, a very good wide receiver. Ward, at the end of his career, he's going to be released, but look to hook on somewhere else. But Mike Wallace will be offered a one-year deal by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Apparently now Peyton Manning and Jim Irsay are having discussions. I think I might write an article about this over the weekend. I don't understand why Peyton Manning wants to stay a Colt unless you tell me it's just comfort and money, because I don't see how he's going to win another Super Bowl. And on the list of Super Bowl winners, it's Tom Brady 3, Eli Manning 2, Peyton Manning 1. And I would have thought that Eli winning his second would have really made Peyton Manning want to go out of his way to try and win another, at least one Super Bowl. If he comes back to Indianapolis where it's comfortable and he'll make a ton of money, due $28 million on March 8th, I don't see how he's going to win a Super Bowl. It wasn't just that Peyton Manning wasn't there last year, it was their defense was terrible. So apparently he and Jim Irsay, the owner, are having discussions. Maybe they're trying to work something out. The problem to me for Manning is if he goes to Miami or Washington, which are the two teams named the most, I don't see how you drop him on their team and they're Super Bowl contenders either. But we'll wait and see what happens. Something has to happen by next Thursday, March 8th. One sad note in football. If you remember, and if you didn't know this guy before, you should have known him this year. This Chris Dielman, of the offensive guard of the Chargers, he's the guy who had that concussion and actually didn't seem to know where he was literally walking around the field in a daze, stayed in the game, you'll recall. Well, yesterday he announced his retirement because of that concussion, career-ending concussion this past year, after a nine-year career, four times a Pro Bowler. It was very sad to see 15 of his teammates came out to support him, which is nice, but he clearly, you know, he said, it's my decision, it's not what I want to do, but it's what I have to do. Now, interestingly, when they showed some of the interview on ESPN, they did not show the concussion that he got last year, but if you recall, he was the dazed offensive lineman almost stumbling around the field when this happened to him. And my recollection is he gutted it out for a few more plays, but now his career is over after 9 years as an offensive guard, four-time Pro Bowler. And again, a very sad story. To the good, of course, they're taking these concussions much more seriously. It's sad that careers have to end, but careers do end, unfortunately. And frankly, that's not going to change. You know, I don't know what they can change about football or hockey for that matter. Sidney Crosby still not back in the NHL. These guys are so big, so strong, so fast, so athletic that invariably you're going to have a lot of these head-to-head crushing collisions. And they're trying to take them out of the game to some degree, but the flip side of that is sometimes they're just, frankly, unavoidable. And the PGA, the Honda Classic at Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, Davis Love ties the course record with a 6-under-64 to take the lead. Tiger Woods had his own putting problems again. He was 1-over after yesterday. Rory McIlroy, if he wins this tournament, he'll become number one in the world. He's -4 after the first round with a 4-under-66. But to me, Tiger Woods, we've talked about this so much, we won't talk about it much anymore. Still having his problems. Can't duplicate the way it was for him 4 or 5 years ago. Hasn't won a tournament since 2009. And again, it'll be surprising to me. Can he win a tournament? Yes. Can he win a major once in a while? Yes. But I don't think there's any way he's going to get to those 19 majors. We've talked about that for over a year now. He just can't quite replicate what it was, whatever it was, back in 2009 and before, that helped him to be by far the greatest golfer in the world and seemingly a guy who was easily going to surpassed Jack Nicklaus's majors mark of winning 18 majors. A couple of other things, a couple of baseball notes. If you saw this on TV, you know, just bizarre, A.J. Burnett. It's like the guy can't do anything right. They trade him to the Pirates. He's taking bunting practice. He gets his face too close to the bat. I mean, really, when you watch the replay, I mean, his face looked like it was about 4 or 5 inches from the bat. Ball ricochets off the bat, hits him in the eye. He flies to Pittsburgh to be examined, and now it's determined that he has a fractured right orbital bone. So now A.J. Burnett today will undergo surgery to repair that fracture. He injured himself on Wednesday after that bunt attempt caromed off his face. No immediate timetable for Burnett's return, but one estimate I heard was 4 to 6 weeks, which means, of course, he'll miss the beginning of the season. Again, just more bad luck for A.J. Burnett. Another baseball note, Grady Sizemore of the Cleveland Indians had a minimally invasive surgical procedure. I love when they say that. It's, you know, not a big deal unless it's happening to you. But in his back, he has an injury. He's out 8 to 12 weeks now. And, again, Sizemore, a good player, was kind of the heart of that Cleveland Indians lineup on and off the field. Very good player, been around for a long time when Cleveland made their mini run last year. One other note on the Jerry Sandusky sexual abuse trial, and again, a little morbid, but there were more details and papers filed Thursday in his case in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. 8 of the kids who were sexually abused by Sandusky or allegedly sexually abused were molested on the Penn State campus. Just disgusting. Other allegations in these new papers are that one of the 10 alleged victims was abused in Florida and Texas, while another one was abused at his own school. Just terrible, terrible allegations. Again, the lawyer, Sandusky's lawyer, tried to put off the trial another 2 months. That was denied. Now, the more these allegations come out, the sicker you get, frankly. If you read the grand jury presentment when that came out, that 23-page grand jury presentment, it's hard to read without getting sick. So certainly the court of public opinion has already convicted Jerry Sandusky and thrown away the key. We'll see what the jury does. That's not scheduled to start until May 14th, and you can expect that the lawyer, his lawyer, will try and put something out into the future, you know, to put it off as long as he possibly can. I think he knows, if you're trying to fairly represent your client, I think he knows what's coming down the pike for Jerry Sandusky. And frankly, part of his job would be to try and do something to put this off as long as you can put this off. A couple of other things. St. John's, a bad year for St. John's basketball, but they have started 5 freshmen. They lost their probably best player, Mo Harkness, Wednesday night to a sprained ankle when they got buried by Pitt. Now, Pitt's not very good, but I think the reason St. John's lost by 20 is because they had no Mo Harkness. However, Harkness is expected to come back for Saturday's regular season game against Rutgers. Again, St. John's an interesting team. Yes, it was a lost season. Yes, Coach Lavin, Steve Lavin, had that prostate surgery, tried to come back, coached a few games, then apparently couldn't do it. Has watched from boxes, you know, when they beat UCLA last week at the Garden, he was up in a box applauding. Maybe you saw it at the end of the game. But they are starting 5 freshmen. They do only have 6 scholarship players. If Lavin can get healthy and keep his recruits, I think this year, as bad as it is for St. John's, is going to help them in the Big East, because as sophomores, they're going to have 5 guys who started in Big East games this year and 6 guys who played in Big East games this year, and that's a lot of experience. I'm sure Lavin didn't want it to be that way, but that's a lot of experience to have as sophomores. So even though it's a lost year for St. John's, I think the ability to build up these freshmen to give them quality minutes in a year where they know they're not going to the NCAA, and frankly, they're probably not going to the NIT either. They'd have to make an incredible run in the Big East tournament, which I don't think they're capable of doing. But I think for next year, I think there's a good chance that next year Coach Lavin looks back and says as bad as last year, meaning this year was, I think it really helped us as a team. So we'll keep an eye on that. St. John's wraps up their regular season at Rutgers on Saturday. And then, of course, the Big East tournament. We're getting ready for selection Sunday, a week from Sunday. Obviously, all the postseason tournaments have started now and will go through next week. And that, of course, will decide all the seeding and selections for the big dance. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
News when you want it, 24/7 online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
You want to put your nest egg somewhere where it will grow. Gold has given investors a 300% return over the last 10 years. You want an investment that's safe. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity. You want to work with someone you can trust. Blanchard & Company was founded over 35 years ago. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You want an investment that's liquid in case you need your money fast. Well, Blanchard guarantees to buy back any gold you invest in with them at the current market rates anytime you want to sell. And you want someone you can talk to ask questions and find out what's right for you. Blanchard has set up a special toll-free line to give you a free one-on-one consultation and information with a gold expert. Just call 800-309-5530. That's 800-309-5530. For free gold information, call now. 800-309-5530. 800-309-5530.
Your Major League Baseball news when you want it 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard to find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
Yeah, we've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfie and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
High quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want grade hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Kallis Show. Want to take an aside for a minute and talk about a different topic. If you have a child who plays baseball at any level, Little League, high school, college, anything from 5 years old to 22 or 23 years old, I'll have an article up later today at sportstalknetwork.com about what baseball bat you should use this year. There are new requirements. Last year, we talked about it last year. The NCAA went to a BB Core bat standard, BB Core standing for batted ball coefficient of restitution, which, to make it simple, gets the aluminum bats closer to wood in terms of how the ball jumps off the bat, much safer bat, has knocked down offense tremendously in college baseball, but to me brings it back to the way baseball used to be in the wooden bat era, if you will. I'm a proponent of returning to the wooden bat era. I don't know that that's going to happen, but at least these BB Core bats have made it better than it was before. And by before, I mean the last 15 years or so, 20 years or so, where you had these bats that were like weapons, these alloy aluminum, ball jumps off the bat, big sweet spot. The BB Core bats you're required to use in NCAA college, starting with last year. I go into the statistics of how that's affected the offense, but also how it's made plays in baseball like the bunt, the hit and run, defense, pitchers pitching inside, how all of this, which disappeared from the game, it seems to me, or certainly disappeared as a major factor, now has returned to college baseball. Well, this year, 2012, the National Federation of High Schools is implementing the BB Core rules as well for high school players. So if your kid is playing NCAA college baseball or high school baseball, and the whole country is using this for the National Federation of High Schools, you're going to have to buy your kid an a BB Core bat as opposed to the old ball exit speed ratio BESR bats. Now, all the BB Core bats will have something on them that says BB Core. So those are the bats you're going to have to use. When it gets where it gets a little murky or complicated, though, is when you look at something like Little League, where Little League one age group has to use BB Core and another age group is allowed to use BB Core but doesn't have to. And in the majors division, the 9 through 13-year-olds that we often talk about, the ones who go to the Little League World Series that you see on TV, there are no BB Core bats at that age limit, at that age level yet. Certainly one of the things I write is hopefully there will be. To me, it's as much about safety as anything else, and clearly to me, in my opinion, these BB Core bats are safer than the prior era, if you will, of aluminum bats, the BESR bats, or the bat performance factor bats that are used in Little League now. But the real problem, if you're a parent listening to this and you have a child and you got to go buy a bat for them, you got to be very, very careful. It's actually easy now if it's in high school or college, because it has to be BB Core approved. But if it's in a travel team, a summer league, you're going to a tournament on a weekend in July, you don't know what the rules are going to be from tournament to tournament. Certainly when my son played summer travel ball, he went to a lot of wood bat tournaments, which I was hugely in favor of. And, of course, then it was very simple. You had to get a wood bat. But now you don't know from tournament to tournament. And another thing I mentioned in the article is you have to be aware. You have to be prepared. This is more so for the summer league coaches, but for the parents as well. You have to be aware that other coaches might just try accidentally on purpose to sneak that BESR bat in, to use that unapproved bat. It gives you a huge advantage now. So you have to be careful. I know even the composite bats sometimes can't be used, and you just have to be aware. It's hard for the coaches, especially the honest coaches. It's hard for the parents. My recommendation at the end of the article is if you're a parent and you buy a bat, keep your receipt, because you don't know what's going to happen. You might want to take it back. Beware, the guy who's selling you bats in the store might be an 18-year-old kid who doesn't know anything, might be a guy who's an expert. The best place to go, I think, would be if you know a guy who's an umpire in the league your kid is playing in, maybe the head of umpires, they're going to be in charge of enforcing these rules. You should talk to them, but you have to be very, very wary. If your kid is playing in a summer league on a travel team, you talk to the coach, you go to their website. If you're going to a tournament in baseball heaven in Long Island or up in Brantford, Connecticut, you know, tournaments in the range of where I live in Westchester County, New York. You go to the website and see what the rules are in terms of what kind of bats can be used, because from tournament to tournament, from league to league, I'm not talking about NCAA or high school now, but otherwise summer ball, travel leagues, elite travel teams, local summer leagues, you just don't know what there's going to be, what the rules are going to be. And I'll say it's up to you, the parent, to help your kid to have a knowledge of what he has to be and more what he has to use. And more importantly, you're the one that's going to plunk down, fill in the blank. It might be 50 or 100, but it might be 200 or 300. How they charge the money they charge for these bats is beyond me, but they do. And you, the parent, have to be aware that you're buying the right bat. If you bought, and I wrote this last year in 2011, if you bought a BESR bat, ball exit speed ratio bat, last year for your son to use in high school in 2011, perfectly legal, I wrote last year that you couldn't use it in 2012 because we knew this new rule was coming. So if you went for $300 last year, you're going to have to buy another bat this year. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have done that. Obviously, if you don't have a lot of money, you're not doing that. But you should have known, should have been forewarned that the bat you used in high school last year was probably not going to be allowed this year. If you used a BB Core bat last year, obviously that's fine, but your kid's offensive potential was limited last year if you used a BB Core bat in the league where you can use BESR bats. In every state but California last year, you did not have to use a BB Core bat. This year in high school, every state, you have to use a BB Core bat. So just keep that in mind. I couldn't really give specific examples because, frankly, once you get out of the NCAA college and the high school stuff, it's really a hodgepodge. It's really hard. If you look at the Little League website, littleleague.org, you will see that the older kids have to use BB Core. The kids in the middle can but don't have to use BB Core. The kids in the Little League still use the bat performance factor 1.15 ratio, which is still a much more powerful bat in terms of how the ball jumps off the bat than the BB Core bats. So it would be nice if we could have national consistency. I've said for years, and others at a higher level like Rick Wolf of the Sports Edge on WFAN in New York has said for years, why don't we just go back to wood? I hope that happens. I don't think it's going to happen, but certainly that would be a great alternative to having to worry about 43 different rules. Is my bat banned? I use it this year. Can I use it next year? Those are very, very difficult questions to answer. In fact, I'll be on WFAN, which you can hear across the country at WFAN.com, this Sunday morning at 8:05 with Rick Wolf to discuss the very issue about the BB Core bats, how they've changed college baseball, how they're going to change high school baseball, what you as a parent should do, because, again, it gets murky. Now it's black and white in college baseball. Now it's black and white in high school baseball, but it is not black and white in Little League, in summer ball, in travel ball, in rec ball, in elite youth teams that travel around the country. Again, it's from tournament to tournament, literally, and from league to league, literally. You have to really learn the rules, speak to an honest, intelligent coach, but you have to educate yourself. So that Sunday morning, WFAN.com across the country, the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf. I'll be Rick's guest, and starting at 8:05, we're going to go over all of these rules. I'll have an article on this up at SportsTalkNetwork.com later today that you can refer to. But again, the key part of the article is simply you have to educate yourself, especially if you're going to plunk down $200, $300, $400 for a baseball bat. A few other things now. Want to get to college basketball. A few big games yesterday in college basketball. Number one, Kentucky at home. Now, what are you going to say? 52 straight wins at home. They hit 15 threes, 15 for 27 from the field on threes. Even in college, that's amazing with the short line. But Kentucky buries Georgia, Kentucky 79, Georgia 49, Kentucky 29-1. Again, Kentucky loaded. This could be the year that John Calipari finally gets his NCAA championship. He's come close before, but he has not won one. Yesterday, Kid Gilchrist with 12 points, 7 rebounds. Miller with 17 points. Davis, a stunning freshman, only 9 points and 8 rebounds, but an unbelievable player, 2 blocks as well. Kentucky has a very good team. Lamb off the bench, 13 points. Kentucky, 79. Georgia, 49. Williams had 17 to lead Georgia. Not a very good year for Georgia now. They dropped to 13 and 16. Michigan goes on the road at Illinois. Now, Michigan ranked 13th in the country, and you would think they wouldn't have any problem with Illinois, except at Illinois, Michigan is 0-13 in the last 17 years at Illinois. But yesterday, Michigan changes all of that. They go into Illinois and beat Illinois, Michigan 72, Illinois 61. Trey Burke with a very good game for Michigan, 21 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds. Tim Hardaway Jr., of course, you know his dad is a great NBA player. He led the way in scoring for Michigan with 25 points, also 11 rebounds. Hardaway Jr., a very good player, going to be a pro. Those two, Burke and Hardaway, lead number 16 Michigan to a 72-61 victory over Illinois. Leonard led Illinois with 18. Illinois drops to 17 and 13. Frankly, unless they string together a bunch of wins and make a run in the tournament, they're not going to make the big tournament. They drop to 17 and 13. Michigan, ranked 13 before this game, goes up to 22 and 8. Another top 25 game, Florida State, ranked 22nd, on the road at number 24, Virginia. And you know that these kinds of games, frankly, are, it's not an upset if Virginia and 24 at home would beat Florida State. But Florida State, again, we've talked about Leonard Hamilton and what a good job he's done. They get another nice road win. They beat Virginia at Virginia. Florida State, 63. Virginia, 60. Mike Scott for Virginia had a career high 28 points, career high in scoring 28 points, also 10 rebounds. But Florida State, too much, a team effort. Miller off the bench with 18 points, Snare and Gibson with 12 each. But it was Ian Miller taking the final shot, tie game, last couple of seconds. Clearly, Virginia had thought that Snare was going to take the last shot, as he'd had a couple of big last-second winners this year. But instead, Miller gets the ball off the dribble, takes a three with just a couple of seconds left, makes it, puts Florida State up 63-60. Virginia can't get anything off, really, in the last second. Florida State now 20-9, ranked 22nd in the country. Virginia 21-8. Ranked 24th in the country. Pretty exciting game, but I think, again, Leonard Hamilton has done an unbelievable, the former coach of Miami down there, has done an unbelievable job with Florida State, and they're definitely a tournament team. I think Virginia is as well. Virginia gave them all they can handle at home, but Florida State gets another good road win off a ranked opponent, 63-60 Florida State over Virginia. Number of other games in the NHL last night. The Rangers go down to Carolina, and I think the key to the Rangers season, you've heard a lot how the Rangers are tearing it up and how great they are, and Richards with all those game winners, and Lundqvist, an MVP candidate, Ryan Callahan playing great, blah, 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 Gabrick with 30 goals, and all of that is true. But I think the key is, or one of the main keys for the Rangers is Marty Biron. He's the backup goalie. They brought him in last year specifically to give Lundqvist rest because Lundqvist's problem as an NHL goalie, you know, they say, oh, his numbers aren't as good in the playoffs as they are in the regular season, and that's true. But I think the Rangers have run him into the ground virtually every season. They brought Biron in last year to give Lundqvist a rest. That plan blew up when Biron got hurt. So obviously Lundqvist has always, in my opinion, played too much. Recall the big deal when Sweden won the gold medal, and Lundqvist was great, and he won his gold medal, and I thought it killed him that season for the Rangers. But this year, he's getting a lot more rest, and by his own admission, he wants to play more, but he understands how great it is that he's getting time off. Yesterday, Marty Biron in goal, Rangers 3, Carolina 2, a good win for the Rangers. They beat Cam Ward and the Carolina Hurricanes. Of course, Ward, a former Conn Smythe winner, as the playoffs MVP when he won the Stanley Cup yesterday. Jeff Skinner opens the scoring for Carolina with his 17th, but Artem Anisimov scores his 12th, and Marian Gaborik, having an excellent year for the Rangers, scores his 30th to put the Rangers up 2-1. Brandon Proust scores his 4th of the year to put them up 3-1, and then Jay Harrison scores his 8th for Carolina late, but not enough. Rangers 3, Carolina 2, Marty Baron gets the win for the Rangers. And a very interesting slash bizarre game. If you saw this game or saw the highlights of this game, you rarely see this happen. The Minnesota Wild up in Montreal, they're trailing Montreal 4-1 with a little more than 4 minutes left in the game. They score a goal with about four, a little less than four left to make it 4-2. In fact, they score with 3:53 left in the game to make it 4-2. And then they pull their goalie down two. When you pull your goalie, rarely, and I mean rarely, do you get two goals. But in this game, Danny Heatley scores with 1:43 left, his 20th of the year, to make it 4-3. And then Devin Setoguchi scores his 16th of the year with 10 seconds left in regulation. Minnesota comes back to tie Montreal in regulation 4-4 with three goals in the final 3:53. Again, you almost never see that. The Canadiens had opened up a league. Max Pacioretty scored his 26th. David Desharnais scored his 14th. But Minnesota comes back to tie at 4. Now, Pacioretty got dragged down with about 30 seconds left in the game and no call for the Canadiens. So that is what allowed, as much as anything, the Wild to tie up the game. They tie it up at 4. They play overtime. And nothing. No score. David Desharnais gets the big goal for the Canadiens. They win the shootout, thankfully for them, after blowing a 4-1 lead in the last 4 minutes of the game. They get the win, Montreal 5, Minnesota 4. Of course, the Wild, their great comeback does not go for naught as they get a point. Montreal 5, Minnesota 4 in a shootout. The Devils go up to Boston. The Devils playing better. The Bruins playing Bruins, the defending championship champions. The Bruins get the win in overtime. Boston 4, New Jersey 3. Tim Thomas over Marty Brodeur, two great, great goalies. For the Bruins, David Krejci had a hat trick, his 14th, 15th, and 16th, including the overtime winner, 2:59 into overtime. Tyler Seguin scored his 21st for the Bruins. For the Devils, they scored three times in the second period to take a 3-2 lead. Zach Parise is 24th, Patrick Eliash is 20th, and David Clarkson is 25th, but it's not enough as the Bruins beat the Devils 4-3 in overtime. Just a couple of other games in the NHL quickly to get to. Vancouver, Roberto Luongo, the up-and-down man, shuts out St. Louis, a very good St. Louis team, stopping 29 shots. Vancouver 2, St. Louis nothing. Alexander Burrows got what proved to be the winning goal 4 minutes into the third period, his 23rd. Chris Higgins with an empty netter at 19:21, his 12th of the year. Vancouver 2, St. Louis nothing. And one other shutout, Ryan Miller, back-to-back shutouts now. Buffalo 1, San Jose nothing. Miller's second shutout in 2 days. He stops 39 shots. The Sabres get outshot 39-19, but win the game. Buffalo 1 out on the coast against San Jose nothing. Drew Stafford scored his 13th of the year from Tyler Ennis in the first period for the margin of victory. Buffalo 1, San Jose nothing. Quickly, television tonight, basketball, ESPN doubleheader, 8 o'clock Eastern, Warriors at the 76ers, 10:30 Eastern. Right after that, Clippers at Phoenix to play Steve Nash and the Suns. If you get the YES Network, 7:30 Eastern, the Nets at the Celtics. If you get MSG hockey tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern, the Devils down in Washington to play the Capitals. That's on MSG+. The Rangers down in Tampa to play the Lightning, 7:30 Eastern. That's on MSG. College basketball tonight, Providence at Notre Dame at 7 o'clock Eastern on SNY. That's the Mets Network. Akron at Kent State, 7 o'clock ESPN2. The Ohio Valley Tournament down in Nashville, Murray State against Tennessee Tech, 7 o'clock ESPNU. And for diehards, Tennessee State playing at 1:30 in the morning on ESPNU. That's a tape game. The West Coast Conference Tournament at Las Vegas on ESPNU, 9 o'clock Eastern, Loyola Marymount against San Francisco. And 11 o'clock BYU against San Diego, both of those games on ESPNU. This is the Steve Kallis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.